Our Father, I need the refreshing of the Holy Spirit, the empowering. And Lord, my 50 years in the ministry, that didn't mean anything. I'm as needy tonight, maybe more than I was when I very awkwardly went through my first attempted effort to preach. Ran out very quick, but Lord, tonight, I must have Thy help. I pray that You'll prepare my congregation and pulverize the hearts, and then may the Word of God run and have free course. And Father, all I ask now is that nobody will be turned away empty tonight, but everybody will be loaded with heavenly benefits. Thank You for the girls, for the ladies, just real ladies that have just sung. And Lord, bless my preacher tonight over in Korea. Bless his heart. Lord, always has such a loving spirit and so kind. Oh, the times I've spent in his home and slept in the bed and rested, and how kind he and Judy have been. Bless their family tonight. Bless all of our guests and our visitors. And Father, bless our 700 on the farm in Corpus tonight. Some have really been having a hard time the last few days. Lord, I pray to speak to them tonight. Now grant that my mind may be clear and my heart pure, and my hands be willing to work. In Jesus' name, amen. The newsman said a while ago from Channel 12, I believe out at Sherman, he said, and I knew he was seeking to trap me, and we'd had a kind visit, and I tried to be nice, but I want to be bold and truthful. And he said, do you believe in separation of church and state? I said, I believe in separation of state and church. He said, then why did you mention names today to vote for and people you didn't want them to vote for? I said, sir, I'm not only a preacher, but I'm an American citizen. And I said, I have a right, at least for now, to get in the pulpit and when I'm through preaching to tell people not to vote for a man that'd kill our children. And I said, I told them that. I represent children, people in need, and I represent... Now, Amendment number 1 was not written to keep the church out of the state, but to keep the state out of the church. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. It didn't say the church can't bring about conditions conducive to righteousness. What I think the news media says, we wish y'all to just let us alone and let us put people in the office. And they've done it too long. And they've ruined this country. I was in Houston last night a couple of times. I was preaching at 4 o'clock, dedicating the church, with Johnny Pope, and then over at Greenwood Village last night. And Houston is becoming the sodomite city of the South. It's marked for the control. That's exactly what they've said. We've got to get Houston. And so they got him a woman mayor. Every man in Houston ought to be embarrassed to death. They ought to hang black crepe around every man's neck in Houston. Can you imagine a woman running or trying to run a big city like Houston? You say you're against the women? No, I'm for them. But I'm for them getting in their place and staying there. The women, I at least am glad they found out that women can't take the combat stuff. They announced that the other day that the women, they're not supposed to. Men ought not to expect women to get a backpack and march for 10, 15, or 30 miles. That's not right. She's the mother. And she needs to reign in her household. We've got a woman on the Supreme Court bench, Sandra O'Connor. She's my friend. She sent boys to me. In fact, she sent one to me, called me one day and said, "Brother Olaf, I want to send you a boy." I said, "Sure." "Send him for a year." "Oh, no," said, "I got to send him for more." So he wound up in the kitchen and said, "Brother Olaf," "Oh, Ray Farwell," said, "here's my paper." And it said, "Sentenced to the lighthouse for 15 years. I told her not long ago, I told her on the phone, I said, "You still hold the record." But I don't believe a woman ought to be up there trying to judge the United States. Men ought to do that. Let women stay in the dresses and become mothers. Let them take care of the children. Let the husband get out and work and make a living. And be the honorable man he ought to be. You say, "Where'd you get that?" "Where you think I got it? Out of the King James Version." And let me say this. All these Bible rewriters need to be sent to Russia.
Amen.
They'd be a lot better off to reread it instead of rewrite it.
Amen.
You know why people get away from this book? They're not satisfied with this one. My mama gave me one like this, and I've been right ever since. If I change, I'm wrong, because this was right to start with. I'm satisfied with the book, and you'll never find us with anything else on the farm except this book right here. None of them, the New King James, none of them, been ever into the farm. This is the only book that God's ever really blessed and brought about revival. So, folks, you better stay with it. You say, "Well, I like to compare." It won't compare. Ain't nothing to compare with this one. Just like in these silly colleges have, they study comparative religion. Ain't nothing to compare with Jesus. It's a waste of time. Compare Buddha with Jesus. Why, man, Buddha's been dead so long. Mohammed, all that bunch of cuts, and Jim Jones, all the rest of them. Brother, just stay with the book and stay with Jesus. I'll introduce my message now by saying I went to South Dakota. I was going to preach, and then I was going to go hunt some pheasants. Well, I got out in the field, and I smelled gun smoke, and it was down at Louisville, Nebraska. And I said to the preacher, "I don't believe I can hunt. My preacher's in jail. They just hauled 85 people out and set them on the lawn chain, the church doors. I believe you better take me to the plane. I'm gone." So he said, "All right." In fact, he said, "Let me go with you." And I said, "All right." So we took off down to Louisville. And the preacher's wife, Miss Sullivan, picked me up at the airport along with one of the faithful ladies in the church. And we started driving. Now, see, this is not in Moscow. This is in Nebraska. See, they didn't run the dear old Amish people out. They're gone. And it wasn't the saddest thing. They sold an old Amish man's wagon in order to collect something from him, see. Boy, you take an Amish man's mule, horse, and wagon away from him, that's his main conveyance. But anyhow, I went down there, and she picked me up and took me on out. And we got nearly back to the church and edged the county line. She said, "Now, I'll have to get out." I said, "Why?" She said, "I can't go to the church. I'm not allowed in the county. I have to stay on this side." I said, "What? Can you imagine that? I mean, you don't even know." She said, "I'm in our church in long time. My husband in jail since about the 1st September and said, I don't get to go to church. I don't get to go to my home even. I stay out here. I wish some friends." I said, "I believe I just go to church." You know, I tell you, I just don't believe letting a silly state run you all over town and all out of the county and jump like that, see? Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
Okay, y'all nod or blink your eye once in a while. I know you're still with me. But we dropped off, went on over there, and I had the sweet privilege of standing in a chair in front of the church door and preaching on the lawn. You say, what about the church? Oh, no. The state was in the church. See, the officers went in there smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee. Can you believe that? And the doors were chained. I didn't even get into fellowship with them. And there wasn't anybody in there praying. Have you ever read that scripture over in Ephesians that said, put on the whole armor of God, including the cutting torch? That's the new piece. Can you imagine? You say, what kind of church was that? A Baptist? No, that was a state church. Judge owned and operated. Sheriff took charge of it. They picked 85 men up off of the knees and hauled them out to the lawn and dropped them down and said, now y'all out. Then they put the chains on the door and they took over. 1973, when they knocked on our door, didn't you remember that? 191 Baptist preachers in Texas voted to put everything under the state of Texas. License, everything. We'll take your guidelines and all the rest. Folks, we got one problem in this country. It's a preacher problem. We've got jello seminaries that are turning out wet noodle preachers, and they preach spaghetti devotionals. And nobody respects them. And that's it. That's where the problem is. I wish I could go over the problem for just a moment. 1933, 4, 5, we introduced the New Deal, Mr. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That ruined business. That ruined the economy. That got everything out of kilter. The government started taking over. Farmer, businessman. But the way they did it, they'd pay them. My daddy told me to go plow the cotton under. Can you imagine that? I mean, big old bowls that big around hit my ankles as I'd plow. And I said, Dad, we haven't even picked it yet. He said, I don't know, but this is a new deal. We get paid for it. Well, that didn't bother me too much because I have a 9-yard cotton sack and that cut out on my picking. I'd kind of get a little nauseated with these little old silly preachers that spend somebody's time while they tell what they had to give up in order to be a preacher. Huh? Man, I'll never regret giving up a 9-yard cotton sack. Thank God, not what I gave up, look what I got. 50 years telling the same story, and it gets sweeter every day. But 1932, here came liquor traffic. License, liquor traffic. And now then America's a drunkard nation? They'll never vote liquor out again. It's here to stay, and we're through. And every nation that ever died drunk. Go in your motel. I was in a Ramada Inn the other day. Had a big sign on the billboard that said, progressive drinking on Friday night. You can't drink and make any progress. No way. Number one, look at the liquor. Number two, 43 years ago, I believe the greatest meeting of Hell's Engineers that was ever held was 43 years ago. I believe they made an invention, and I said so exactly the day she came out. I mean, when that thing came out, you begin to hear me across this country saying, I'm preaching tomorrow night on the devil's big stick. And I called it the end time stick of the devil. Television. It's completely demoralized, brutalized, and made animals out of people. Impure, busted up the home, ruined the wife, shattered grandma's faith, and there they are. And now then, the homosexuals have been turned loose in this country. Folks, I've seen licensed liquor, I've seen abortion, and I've seen the sodomites, all three. Those are your three last sin signs in this country. That's going to completely destroy America. And when you go to the polls Tuesday, you're going to decide whether you want the sodomites or whether you want some decent people. We got a real choice. We got a real choice. I'll guarantee you. Ann Richards, running for state treasurer, she got the standing ovation from the sodomites and the lesbians. You say, what you going to do about it? You know what I'm going to do about it. In the first place, she doesn't need to have the office. Alan Clark, he lost both legs. Think of it. Both of his legs in Vietnam. One of the greatest Christians. I'm simply saying, you're going to be held accountable for the way you vote this coming Tuesday. And I'll tell you something else. You know, we got a bunch of these little Casper milk toasts. They said, well, I'm just not going to vote. Oh, yeah, you're going to vote. You're going to vote. When you stay home and you don't keep the killers out, then you're no longer my friend. I wouldn't give 2 cents for a cow pasture full of you. I'd pay your fare if I could raise your money to Russia. This country was not made great by cowards. And anybody that'll vote for a man to close our homes again, though we can't, God won't let him. The record stands 9 dead now that jumped on us. I didn't kill them. God permitted them to get killed. 9 of them. God's going to get their attention before it's over. Go on. 1939, there's television. 1952, Revised Standard Version. There she is. Now, Brother McCart, that was the beginning of building the climate and atmosphere for humanism. The Revised Standard Version and the rewritten Bibles and refurbished Bibles are seeking to bring God down to the size of a human being. Same thing with DHR, Department of Human Resources. See, they changed. They said, we got to change our image. See, I gave them a lot of trouble. I really did. And they gave me a lot of trouble, too. I never did close them down. A lot of people say, well, you ought not to be against the DHR. If they stay out of my church, I wouldn't bother them. I pay their salary. Man met me, old Jack Blanton, met me down in Austin the other day. He's one of the top men on the totem pole. He kept looking at me and looking at me. And I was walking around the terminal there over at the Ragsdale. And he finally came up to me and he said, Brother Olaf, I don't guess you want to speak to me. I said, oh, yeah, I don't know who you are, but I'd be glad to speak to you. I shook his hand. He said, I'm Jack Blanton with the DHR. I said, why, man, I don't mind talking to you. I'll pay you salary. I like to meet the people that work for me. I'm not blowing off. I'm just trying to tell you. I said, you got a job to do, but it's not to run my church or my home or bring your standards out to me. We got better ones than you've got. Folks, if we don't know how to run our own church, well, just close it down. We got the best guidebook in the world. Now then, what happened in 1960? I'm just giving you a little picture. That's when the Beatles came, wasn't it? That's when the what they call the Jesus freaks came. That's when the bed sheet boys began to walk the highways. You remember that? Ashamed to work. They said, oh no, we couldn't afford to work. Beneath our dignity, well, we need a bed sheet and we're barefooted. We don't need much. Somebody feed us, we got her made. Isn't that pitiful? Can you imagine America with people like that? But that was the time, you know, when Madeline Murray O'Hare decided she'd go to Washington and walked in and talked to 9 magistrates. They're supposed to be the top court in the United States. They make the final decision. They call that the Supreme Court. Of course, I got one more supreme than that one. Because I only got 3 judges. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's a tribunal. But would you believe that those men let Madeline Murray O'Hare convince them that it wasn't right to have the Bible read in school? Or pray in school or at the cafeteria anywhere else? You see what's been happening in America? Now, when all that began to take place, humanism began to get born. And the school teacher can teach atheism, but cannot teach creation. But if I was a Christian in the schoolroom, I'd say, now, students, the infidels say that we just happened to show up one day. And there was a mud cell, and nobody knows where it came from. And they just begin to evolute. Now, students, I want to tell you the truth. I believe in devolution. We've gone down instead of up. And I want to tell you where we all came from. And I'll read it out of my Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And over in John, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And dwelt. Now that's Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus created everything. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Now that's not theory, that's truth.
Amen.
I thought you students were going to know that. And I've just told you. You'd say, what if you got fired? Well, I'd tell them before I got fired. Folks, where's our religious liberty and freedom? Now, I believe in separation of state and church, but not church and state. If the church doesn't select the people that are going to be in the state, how are you going to obtain ministers of God to thee for good? The sodomites sure won't. That bunch of reckless liquor drinkers and ACLU and all that bunch of godless people, they'll never select the right one. So I made up my mind 4 years ago. I said, well, we're just going to get a governor. And everybody laughed at me. But he got elected. And John Hill didn't make it. You know one of the reasons? John Hill had made the statement, said, when I get to be governor, Brother Wilmot will get a license. He wouldn't make any difference if he got to be president. I wouldn't take a license. And of course, you know, I told the governor the other day, we had this big dinner here, you know, or luncheon, whatever you want to call it. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm not saying that Brother Bill's as spiritual as he ought to be. I don't think he is, but at least he stands for the church. He stands for our home. He stopped the communistic caravan from taking us over. And they were 3 men. Don't you think they weren't planning on doing it? You know what they were going to do? They were going to come in the gate. Cleve McClary standing there with the flag in his hand. They were going to run through the flags, the Bibles, the preachers, the parents, the workers, and then they were going to chop the church doors down and open them up and go inside, break up a preaching service, pick up the girls, take them to Corsicana, Texas. That's exactly what they announced they were going to do. And we're going to take the homes over. Folks, America has lost her vision of what our American forefathers had when they came here. Now, you ready for the message? Romans chapter 13. I just feel like I ought to share this with you, and I believe it'll help your heart. And many people do not understand what the battle is all about. And the theme verse, now in this chapter, I'll give you. Now, may I remind you, and one preacher over in North Carolina said to me, brethren, I was in a seminar, one of these, you know, panel deals, and I was answering the questions, and he said, Brother Olaf, what are you going to do with Romans 13? I said, I'm going to preach it and practice it. I said, are you having problems with it? Well, he said, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Well, I said, that's what the human resources and DHR said. But I said, it's not the higher powers that's giving me in trouble. It's them lower powers. I can't understand how they'd have enough brass to think that the state was the higher powers. You'd say, well, what do you... I don't have to think. I know it's God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the King James Version. That's higher powers. But there's two laws that I'm obligated to keep. I've never broken. I mean, I've never turned my back on them. The law of the Lord is perfect. Amen. Now then, brethren, theologians, Jim Lyons, evangelists, do you believe that someday the church will be perfect? Do you believe it has any prospects or promises of perfection? Then why shouldn't we have some perfect rules and regulations? And answer me that. Don't you believe all? Why would we take Madeline Murray O'Hare's standards, no Bible, no prayer, and put it into our school system? What I'm trying to say is this. He said, let every soul be subject to the higher power, for there... Now, did you get that? Plural? Powers. That proves it's God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. There's more than one. It didn't say the president. It didn't say the governor. It didn't say the attorney general. It said the powers. All right. There is no power but of God. Amen. No power but of God. Now then, let me ask you this. If there's no power but of God, who is God going to give his power to? Would he give it to a cutthroat? Would he give his power to Madeline Murray O'Hare? No. And folks, don't ever forget to pray for her. Just pray that she'll be saved. Her boy Bill, I believe he's been saved. Just pray that she'll be... You know, really, I believe this with all my heart. If I could get her to spend 30 days in Jubilee Home, I know she'd be saved. Amen. Doug, you get a bed ready. I'm going to try to get her. Amen. I've already been working on her. I really have. I've called her. My wife told me, you remember that? My wife, I said, I wish I could win her to the Lord. And of course, Ms. Roloff just threw the challenge at me, something to do. Why, we're sitting around eating. She said, won't you call her? Just go ahead and tell her what you're telling me. I said, I'll do it. I died. Would you believe it? She answered the phone. I said, I'm Lester Roloff. She said, I've heard a lot about you. I said, I've heard a heap about you, too. So we got off to a real conversation. And I said, I've been thinking about you. She said, what can I do for you? I said, won't you come visit with me? She said, when? I said, next Thursday. I said, I'll come get you. She said, what time you want me to be ready? I said, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock in the morning, Thursday morning. Isn't that good? See, that's the day we have church, Thursday night. And I knew she wouldn't want to miss church. And so, Miss Sedgwick, I just got, you know, I got all set to go. I mean, I was looking forward to it. She's going to spend the whole day with me. Go to church. I'd fly her back up there. And riding in a single engine plane in the dark at night, that would inspire her to believe. Do everything I could, see. So, oh, I got disappointed. I didn't get to go. The state had me locked up in the county jail Thursday morning. Isn't that pitiful? I missed my opportunity. But I'm still determined to witness the man who knows her. I've been up there. I went up not long ago, and she's gone. And I tell you what. Now, if she has a reprobate mind, get this. If she has a complete reprobate mind, nobody can win her. I mean, she's through. When God gives her up, she's through. And she's sure been going in that direction for a long time. Oh, hear me, dear friend. Let's read on. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Did you get that? Now, if the governor's office is ordained, if the president's office is ordained, if it's ordained of God, it looks like God ought to own the office. I mean, if he ordained it. Now, God ordained me to preach. Well, what do you think I ought to preach? Humanism? No. I'm a member of the DDR, the Department of Divine Resources. And so I've got a divine message to preach. I've been ordained of the Lord. I've been called of the Lord, so I'm obligated to Him. And then something else. He gave me my first birth, that is, my life. He gave me my second birth. Then He called me. So He owns me, lock, stock, and barrel. And the Bible said, the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So, brother, you belong to God. I mean, Madeline Murray O'Hare belongs to God. Now then, let me read. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power. Get it? Now we're hammering down on it. The power. The power. Well, what is that? Resisteth the ordinance. Those are two of the most important these in the Bible. Number one, if you resist the power, that means you're not any other. See? The power. You know what the power in the world today is? The Holy Spirit. Not God, not the Father, not Jesus. The power is the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus got off the cross, rose up on that third day, and remember, the resurrection demanded that Jesus break the law. Did you know it's against the law to break the Roman seal? But Jesus didn't pay that much attention. And a little angel was sitting there on the seal. Think of it, sitting on the seal, the Roman seal. And Jesus comes stepping out. And the Roman soldiers, 16, fell back like dead men. And Jesus, I imagine, gave them a very hearty good morning and walked on. Folks, the power. And the oracle. You know what that is? I really believe it now. I've staked 50 years on it. Now the rest of them are going to be, and I believe I'll do it in heaven when I get there. The power is the Holy Spirit. The oracle is the King James Version of the Bible. That's all I believe. You know, reason I'm sold on this book, look at the fruit. Look at what it's done. I dare anybody to come to Corpus and talk to 700 people and then accuse me of doing it. There's not anybody on earth that can see 700 people, most of whom have been redeemed in the last year, and say, Brother Olaf sure is a winsome personality. He's got a power of hypnotism. That's the power. That's the Holy Spirit power. That's it. Now then, I'm not through. Therefore, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now then, Who's got a right for damnation? Brother Walton, did you know that I have never really, and this to me is a miracle, even those lonely days and lonely nights, I'd walk in the church and no Rebecca choir, no anchor boys, and it's a lonely time. Walk through a $1 million dormitory at night, and not one little girl, not one person, every bed empty. I saw Merlin Johnson walk through there on the death walk, and he said, I want to make sure there's not one girl left in here, not one. He opened door after door, said, open this door. He looked everywhere. He came back and got in his government car and walked and drove out, said, I'm satisfied there's nobody here. And there's not supposed to be anybody brought back in here either. Of course, that didn't last long. Folks, the state didn't have power to do that. No, sir. Look at what he said. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? That's the Holy Spirit. I'm not afraid of the state's power. I'm not afraid of the Attorney General. I'm not afraid of the people like that, but I am afraid of the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's got all of it. And so he said, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Now verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But, now here's the amazing thing right here. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. All right, wait a minute. You got your next statement. He's repeating. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Brethren, whoever you may be, Christians, he says that a minister of God to thee for good has to have one sword. He beareth not the sword now. He's a minister of God. Whose sword would he bear? The sword of the Spirit. You say, what is that? It's my Bible. That's what I'm told me. That's when I tell the governor. I said, well, governor, he asked me, called me up there. I said, Brother Olaf, you know I appreciate you. You know that I wouldn't be governor if it hadn't been for you and your friend. I know that. He said, because, see, we, 4 years ago, we got him 250,000 votes. He won by 16,000. And he said, but this is what he said. He was so sincere. He was desperate. He said, Brother Olaf, he said, you're just going to have to come under and take a license. Said, put it under the carpet. Put it in the drawer. Just take it, Brother Olaf. And I said, Brother Bill, you want me to quit preaching? And he said, no, I don't want you to quit preaching, Brother Olaf. Just keep on. I said, I can't preach after I accept humanistic standards. When I become a state church, I might as well move to Moscow. When I hang up or put anywhere on my property and it comes out in the paper, Brother Olaf is now operating a state home. I said, I'll never do it. Never. Then he looked at me, because he knows very little about the Bible. He said, Brother Olaf, there's something in the Bible somewhere that says that you can swallow a camel and strain it a gnat. Are you doing that? I said, no. I said, you're talking about my conscience now. When I lose my conscience, I can no longer preach. The judge called me and said the same thing. Said, Brother Olaf, one more time, we've got to settle the case. Can you please, anyway, can you take a license? I said, no way. He said, all right, let's go to court. I'm going to give you your day. You can have as many days as you want to put on the facts. And I'm coming down there and I'm going to see what you are doing. I'm going to go all over that place. I said, man, I've been waiting on you. Have fresh fish waiting for you. We'll have dinner together. The old judge said, Brother Olaf, my eyes have been opened. I'm amazed at what I've seen. And on that court bench, he said, Texas University hasn't got anything that'll compare with what's going on in Corpus. It's immaculate. And if ever home was run like Brother Olaf's, there'd be no need for state rules and regulations. Folks, this old book, the judge, the governor, President Reagan, they got only one standard and one set of standards, and that's this book right here. Now then, I want to close my message by saying and give you, since Jesus is the top line, I want to give you the bottom line. And it's in the same time. And don't forget now, this was written while Paul was in jail because they took his religious liberty away from him. Did you know that most of the letters of Paul were written while he was in jail? Yes, sir. He knew the price. Now I want you to notice verse 9, the latter part. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now take chapter 14 for our final verse. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Folks, when we love Jesus, and when we love His Word, we'll walk in it. I know they commanded Daniel with a no prayer law, but it didn't stop him. I know they told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow to the image, but they didn't do it. I know they told our forefathers, don't you sign that document, the Constitution, the Emancipation Proclamation. If you sign it, that's illegal. You're lawbreakers. They signed it, and they lost their family, their fortune, and their fame. Folks, that's the price. Now then, tonight, let's renew our allegiance to the book. And I close by recommending some things. Number one, read the Bible through every year. Will you do it? Don't ever miss a year reading the Bible through. Oh, at least once a year, go through the Holy Land. Every step. Did you know, and I say this, I've known Billy Graham ever since he got called to preach and started. Prayed with him, talked to him. I've seen him stretch himself completely on the floor, face down, and weep and pray for revival. I've seen it. I've known Oral Roberts ever since he started preaching. Did you know that Oral Roberts had a habit and policy when he was under the tent and in the tent campaigns, preaching week after week? Did you know that he read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John every day of his life? He said, I'm going to walk every step that Jesus took and that was recorded in the Word of God. You see, you're listening to a preacher that longs only to live by this book. And I know that puts you on a constant collision course with the world. It costs you to just stay with the book, because the world's gotten away from the book. And then look at the compromises. Look at Duke McCall, the Baptist preacher. He's president of the Baptist World Alliance, and yet he endorsed the Reader's Digest Bible. Oral Roberts endorsed the Reader's Digest Bible. 40% butchered away. 10% of the words of Jesus thrown out. Folks, I just want to tell you, if you don't stay with this book right here, you'll wind up compromising, and you'll be miserable, and your fruit will shrivel, and you'll not be happy. And you, listen, you do err not knowing these scriptures, neither the power of God. And when you get away from this book, and let me just say this, and this will catch you right where you are. When you read the newspaper more than you read this book, that means you prefer the newspaper and earthly things to heavenly. Ain't no way to figure that any other way. Number two, when you watch television more than you watch heaven through this book, then that means that you're more interested in the world than you are the other world. And we're hammering down on you now. If you don't pray and talk to God more than you talk to the world, there's something wrong. Folks, we need to get back up to concert pitch. I close with this illustration. I was a little boy. And I want to warn you about the Bible. There's going to be two battles fought in the end time, the book and the look. That means the Word of God and separation. I mean clean, holy living, separated from the world. You know the reason we get Jubilee girls? Old Doug operates a tight ship. Boy, you talk about a general and a captain. And I mean, he just goes in one direction. Ain't no way to head him off. I mean, no way. I mean, you can't. He walks straight down. And those girls, they come in there, I'm telling you, over 18, some of them 30, some of them 35. Old man came in the other day, City Refuge, 79 years old. He said, I'm tired of living for the devil. He said, I want somebody to help me. And brother, he's just about gone. But I'm glad he made it in time. But don't many people live that long, living in sin. But my mother was my first love. Amen. The first love a child ever has is its mother. Now, spiritually, this is my first love. Now, remember in the book of Revelation, he said that you've left your first love. That's your mother. This is it right here. Now get the illustration. My mother said, Lester, there's somebody knocking at the door. Go tell them to come on in. And I said, I'll do it. And I race out the other way. And I said, Mama said, come on in. And here he comes. Great big old fella, you know, coming over. I never had seen him before. And I watched him pretty good. Especially after I noticed he had a butcher knife about that long in his right hand. And I thought, ain't cold enough to kill hogs. He said, where's your mama? I said, she's in there in the kitchen making some tea cakes. He goes on in the kitchen, and my mama said, yes, sir. He looks at me and said, what's your name? I said, Lester Leo Roloff. He said, is that your mama? I said, it certainly is my mama, only one I got. And she's the best in the world. He said, you're pretty sold on that. I said, yes, sir, sure am. I kept watching that butcher knife. I thought, what's he up to anyhow? Well, he said, Lester, I just thought I'd let you know that you don't need all of your mama. I said, what? He said, I think you got too much mama. I'm figuring on taking this butcher knife and cutting off her left leg and her right arm, and I'm going to cut out her one of her eyes and her left earlobe, and I'm going to just trim her down. I said, but said there'll still be 60% of her left. Brother, I didn't weigh but 80 pounds. I remember about 3 years, I thought I never would get any bigger. And I said, I tell you what you're going to have to do, whoever you may be, you'll have to kill Lester Leo before you get to my mama. That's my mama. Listen, she's the one that brings cold rags when I have my sick spells at night. My mama's the one
that washed my dirty clothes and sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus," with her hands. And the old black wash pot and the barbed wire fence for the rough clothes. And so I said, "Wait a minute, Buster. I don't know who you are. It don't make no difference or how big you are. You ain't going to touch my mama." He said, "What are you talking about? I thought you'd catch on by now." The Reader's Digest came out. And they said to Brother Lester Olof, "I'm going to cut away about 40% of your mama." I said, "I'll fight you up to the hot doors of damnation and watch you fall in the fire before you do it. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you put up with a bunch of filth like that, you haven't got one thimble full of spiritual discernment. You better stay with the book, and God will bless you when you stay with this old book." Could you sing with me a little chorus? "Only believe." Sing. "Only believe. All things are possible if you'll only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe." Let's stand together with bowed heads. I wonder tonight, how many are here who'd say down in your heart, and I know you're in a good church, and I know these people that are in this building would have to represent the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I know that. People don't drive many, many miles to hear this preacher preach again without loving Jesus and loving His Word. We're going to sing in a moment. And while we sing, I wonder how many of you need to make a trip to the altar, which would be a trip back to the Bethel of your first love, the Bible, and just say, "I'm going to love it and stand by it, and I'm not going to let anybody butcher my mama without me protesting. I'm coming to live in it." And folks, if you don't live it, you must not love it. "Oh, by this shall men know that you love me, that you keep my commandments." And so, I wonder how many. And if you're coming to get saved tonight, tell one of our workers here at the front. If you're coming to renew your vow, young people, mothers and dads, wouldn't you like to come tonight and just kneel down? You young people, while your mind is so fresh and alert, wouldn't you like to memorize the Scripture? Communists are coming. You won't have a Bible left then. We'll all be underground, but we'll have what we memorized, and you better get after it. Our Father, give just the response as we sing that old song that says, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I'll furnish the clay. Oh, mold me and make me after thy will." And Father, remind the man that's discouraged tonight that the vessel was marred in the potter's hands when he did the work on wheels, and instead of throwing it away, he said, "I'll make it again." Lord, I believe you want to make somebody again right here tonight, and I believe they're going to come. While our heads are bowed and while we sing the first stanza, how many will come and take your place in the altar? And you just tell the Lord what you've got on your mind and ask Him for help. He'll help you.